Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. This is the book of the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. On the first day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judah, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and to the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "This people says, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." And then this word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. "Is it time for you to dwell in your own paneled houses while my house lies in ruins?" Here's the prophet speaking. Is it time for you to dwell in your own paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? How much do you consider the need of the church, the state of the church, where the church is suffering? Or do you put first your own home? I'm just making this as blunt as I can. In other words, does the family of God have a place in your life? Or is it only, as I've so often said, all about me, myself, and I? The Lord wants a central place. He wants to have a central place in your everyday life. He's not reserved to Sundays. He wants 24/7 to have a place in your life. Does he? Does he? In other words, that you're looking to him, you're asking him to help you prioritize things, asking him what he wants you to pay attention to. You don't have to spend a lot of time, just ask him and give him time to answer. Or oftentimes what I find is I ask God questions. What do you want me to be paying attention to here in this situation or that? And then when I'm in the situation, that's when I get the insight. I don't get it beforehand because God wants me to keep my eyes and my ears fixed on him, as we heard earlier this week. Looking to him, not to my own resources first, but to him. What does he want? "Now thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but have brought in little. You have eaten, but have not been satisfied. You have drunk, but have not been exhilarated. You have clothed yourselves, but not been warmed. And whoever earned wages, earned them for a bag with holes in it." In other words, what we do as human beings isn't necessarily going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. If we depend on just our human resources, we're in real poverty, brothers and sisters. Do not do that. Look to God first and then how he wants you to use the resources, the human resources you have. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the hill country, bring timber and build the house of the Lord, that I may take pleasure in it and receive my glory, says the Lord." He's not me, me, me. He's just simply saying, let's get things in right order. If we do, you will experience the blessing of your Creator. Psalm 149, the Lord takes delight in his people. The Lord takes delight in his people. He wants us to praise him in the festive dance. He wants us to exalt him in glory. He wants us to care for others. That's what he wants. Are we giving glory to God as is his due, what he deserves? The verse before the gospel says, "I am the way and the truth and the life," says the Lord. "No one comes to the Father except through me." So draw close to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And ask him who died to save you, ask him to help you to follow him more closely. Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to inspire and enlighten you, that you may know the will of God. in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been raised from the dead. Others were saying, Elijah has appeared, and still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John, I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. Why did he keep trying to see him? Because he wanted to learn from him? Or he had a healthy curiosity? Or was it because he feared a threat? John I beheaded. He got John out of the way. He felt there was a threat, or could be a threat. And so he kept trying to see him. Brothers and sisters, how often do we find ourselves in circumstances where we're challenged in some way or threatened in some way, and it preoccupies our mind to the point that we don't think clearly? We don't make clear decisions because we're acting on our fears, not necessarily on reality. We're acting on our fears. We're not turning to the Lord for help. Lord, help me to have clarity here. Help me to see what's really at stake. Help me to know who I should talk to. But you don't go on the attack. You find out what the truth is. And brothers and sisters, in this world today, where we live, we attack and we ask questions later. In many, many, many situations. All you have to do is watch the news on television. If you do that, all you have to do is that. There's so much confusion and innuendo and half-truths. So many people acting out of their own prejudices and their own reactions. And they're, in a sense, they're painting the reality from their perspective, and it's not true. It's skewed. It's badly skewed. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we want to walk in the truth. We want to walk in the truth. And that means, in my mind, that means reading Scripture every day. Learn to know God's priorities. Learn to know His promises. Learn more effectively to know His presence even when you're threatened, even when you're fearful, even when you're in doubt, even when people are yelling at you, to know His presence and to be listening to His voice, not the threatening voices in front of you or the sarcastic voices or the seductive voices in front of you. Don't listen to those voices. Even if they have a shred of truth, what they're doing is drawing you into the situation. They're drawing you into the picture. And it can be very, very, very challenging to know what to do and what to say. Brothers and sisters, we need the Lord. We need His presence. We need His wisdom. And I beg you to call upon Him. I beg you, and when you're challenged by our political picture, when you're challenged by situations in the church, go to the Lord. What's the truth? What's the truth on which I can stand? Don't get caught up in gossip. For heaven's sake, don't get caught up in slander. Don't do it. Walk away. Walk away. And the God who loves you will draw closer to you. The God who loves you will be near you. Oh, brothers and sisters, I urge you to walk with Him. I don't want you to walk, as Father Donald Haggerty called it, the compromised spirit of Herod. You don't want to live in compromise. And so often we do a little of this and a little of that. We compromise, and we compromise in a way that is not a compromise between two truths. It's a compromise between truth and evil. Donald Haggerty, Father Donald Haggerty from New York, says this: truthfulness, if relentless, that digging closer to the center is always feared by some, and yet it is a necessity without which no contemplative life has ever been lived, no good religious life has ever been lived. On the other hand, those who seek to accommodate themselves to others, to conform to the prevailing opinions, who determine their thought with a careful eye on their companions, who pursue communal agreements as a value, these people may live comfortably with their convictions. Yet surely their souls are closed off from the challenges of God that lead to deeper prayer, to a deeper relationship. They are deaf to the spirit of contradiction that God inevitably demands of a soul of deeper prayer. No one who claims fidelity to God will escape a need to draw away sometimes from easy companionship with the crowd. We must be alone at times, or else we will join with others in compromising spiritual values, thereby losing our true life, not offering what we must for the sake of love. Brothers and sisters, how often do we compromise? How often do you compromise your principles, your values? Don't compromise. Decide no. God never compromised. What is God asking of me? What does God want of me? He wants me to draw near to Him. He wants me to walk with Him. He wants me to listen to Him. He'll use all the natural talents He's put into my heart and my life. But He wants us to be as close to Him as we can. That means daily prayer. That means regular reception of the Eucharist as often as you can. You need to be fed. You can't learn how to follow the Lord on a starvation diet. Read the Word every day. Allow your life to be shaped by it. You will be amazed at how God loves you and how God wants to use you and your value. So brothers and sisters, I urge you, and I also, again, as you'll hear at the end of the program, I also urge you to get a copy. If you do not have one, you can get a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, because we're all suffering. And I want you to know the love and the mercy and the kindness of God to you, even in the midst of suffering. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, to take the time. Order a free copy of my booklet. Just call the 800 number that'll be at the end of the program. And look at what suffering can be used for. Look how you can grow in hope even in the midst of suffering and how it can change so much in your life. I urge you, brothers and sisters, urge you and encourage you. Please read, please pray, please draw near to God, that He may shape you and form you more and more in His image and likeness. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.